Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruits of the earth, and having long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rains. Be ye therefore also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh.
I wonder if I would confuse you guys if I walked up on this side instead of coming up on this side like I normally have been doing. Certainly it's great to be here and to worship our God and Father in heaven, and I hope that you enjoy and worship in spirit and in truth, and we're here today to focus on the Word of God and to study another portion from it. I want to ask you a couple of questions this morning. How much do you love God's Word? You know, that's a simple question, isn't it, for most of us? Well, duh, Jesse, I love God. I want to learn more about Him. I want to do His will. But how many hours per week do you spend studying? And compare that to maybe watching television or other things that you may do. I'm not saying that all of our time has to be invested in studying the Scriptures, but I am wanting us to focus this morning on the Bible. I want us this morning to realize that the message this morning is not from Jesse's mind, it's not from Jesse's mouth, but I want us to understand that it is indeed from the Word of God. As we talk about growing and personal growth, we need to consider and be serious about considering personal growth. Are we growing? Are you asking yourselves in the Scriptures, am I growing in faith? As we look to the Bible this morning, in our series of lessons that we've been going through, I want us to picture a big container. And this big container is labeled faith. And in that big container is a smaller container. And that container is labeled virtue or moral courage. And that moral courage, we studied and looked at David and many people in the Old Testament that show us that we need to be a courageous people. And it takes courage to help our faith grow. And inside that container, that virtue, that container of courage, there is that container of knowledge that is even smaller. I'm not suggesting that it's less important, but I want us to see how He's developing these points and how He's attaching these ideas together to get us to grow spiritually, because He desires us to grow. Think about another container, not just knowledge, but self-control. And it's self-control that helps our knowledge when we're presented with things to be able to restrain ourselves or to hold back our impulses according to the flesh. But this morning I want to talk about patience. I want to talk about patience. How do you supply to your lives the patience that we need in this life? I want to start by looking at the definition of patience, and then I want to examine another particular point, a description. You'll notice there's three D's here: a definition, a description, and then patience dependent, things that are dependent upon patience, and patience depends upon them. And then perhaps the fourth one, a demonstration of that patience. If you think about the definition that Peter uses in 2 Peter chapter 1, and really in verse 6 there, to talk about perseverance in the New King James, sometimes it's translated long-suffering or endurance. The word comes from hupomeno. That's a Greek term. Hupo means under, and meno means to abide. And so the word literally means to abide under. Perhaps in my own words, if you were to think about putting a definition in your own words, to remain calm in extreme situations so that you use the right judgment to discern how to react. That is patience. When I was working at Lowe's, we were all trained by a computer. Everything that they did was on a computer program, and this is how we want you to stock the shelves, Jesse, and this is how we want you to organize everything, Jesse, and when you have safety tutorials, we're going to show you those as well on the computer, and that teaches you everything you need to know, right? Everything's on the computer. And in one of these training videos that they showed me, it was one on guns, and the specific training was on an active shooter. What happens if an active shooter comes in with a handgun and starts firing at you? Or if he has a shotgun or a rifle and he just starts shooting? What are you going to do, Jesse? And interestingly enough, while I was there, there was a sister store that actually had a shooting, and so we had to get trained again within a matter of about a few months because this happened. And when we get into a situation like that, we need to have patience. How Lowe's trained us is you had to do three things. The first one was run. Flee. Yeah, duh. If there's someone who comes in with a gun, run for it. The second was hide. I don't know if I'd like that one. And then the third, if it was necessary, then you attack. You pick up a hammer, you pick up something that Lowe's has, and you hit him in the head. You try to get rid of the problem. And the problem is they don't allow employees to conceal and carry. And you'll get fired on the spot if they know that you're concealing while you're working on the job. And so you had to do one of these three things. You see, in a situation like that, I'm reminded of patience to be able to say, okay, am I going to run? Am I going to hide? Or do I need to pick up this weapon and hit this person in the head? And you have to do that in the split of a moment, but it takes patience to get to that point where you can make the proper decision in that particular moment in your life. You know, as the Bible way would discuss it, as the Bible says, we might think of it more of like a captain. Think about what Thayer says in Thayer's lexicon of a definition of patience. He says this, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. Vincent's word studies would add not merely endurance of the inevitable, but the heroic, brave patience with which a Christian not only bears but contends, and Orton Grinch says, fortitude and vines as to tarry behind. The biblical definition of patience is more like a captain. And we've all probably seen Titanic or heard the history of Titanic and that ship sank. And what was said about it? It was unsinkable. No one can sink the ship until it hit an iceberg and ultimately it sank, didn't it? Because it was heavier than the water that it was on. But you know what the captain did? What is the captain told to do? They are in charge of the safety. They are in charge of making sure there are plenty of lifeboats, and there weren't on the Titanic, by the way. But they're in charge of making sure people escape on these boats. But what does he do? He's supposed to remain behind and make sure all this takes place. I want to suggest to you that the Bible talks about patience in that person who's on a ship and remains behind and makes sure everybody else gets on those lifeboats to escape when that ship goes under. That's the type of patience that we need as God's people. I want to give you some points here that talk about how the Bible discusses for us a description. Now, first you'll find over in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and there in verse 25, the Bible reminds us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as some have become to practice that, but to come together all the more as you see the day approaching. And as he continues on in verse 26, he begins to talk about the intentional sin, that we shouldn't sin willfully. We don't need to be practicing sin, that we don't need to go out and start picking and choosing sins and doing them just for the fun of it. Those things are going to be condemned. But in the latter part of this chapter, he discusses the Christian and how we react to these temptations and how we react with that patience that we so desire and need. Notice verse 36 of Hebrews chapter 10. For you have need of endurance or patience, that same word that we're discussing this morning, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. The Bible describes to us that we need patience, and that's a need or a want that we should desire. Have you ever heard someone say, don't pray for patience, God will give it to you? I'm suggesting the very opposite. We need to pray to God for patience, and we need to allow God to give us patience. And certainly we see that desire here, that need for patience. Notice what Hebrews 10 verse 36 says, for you have need of patience. You as a Christian need this if you're going to overcome those temptations and specifically the trials in this life. You need that. That's something you should desire. Because guess what? So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. It's going to lead you to the promised land. Patience is what takes you there. And you know, it's not easy, is it, to be patient and to wait. It's not easy to build that up. And yet the Bible is very clear that we need to be the captain of the ship that sets back and looks at the situation and then makes our decision based upon the situation in that particular circumstance. That's what the Bible says about patience. And here that patience, spiritually speaking, leads us to heaven, to be with God. In Luke 8, in verse 15, another way in which the Bible has a description of patience for the Christian is found in the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, we are very familiar with, we have the land or the ground or the soil that's really representative of the hearts of humankind. And we choose which part we are. We choose which soil we are, whether we're the good heart that's going to receive the Word of God or whether we're going to allow trials and temptations to take us away from God's Word. We get to choose that. And in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8, we see that there is a description here, and that description is this: but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You see the description here, that need of patience is that you and I have to have a good heart. The condition of the heart is vital. What's the condition of your heart with God's word? What's the condition of your heart as a child of God and living with that patience? Brethren, it's important that we bear under those things that we need to bear under. It's important that when we show to the world that we're going to demonstrate that patience by our lives. And that starts with understanding the biblical concept, of course, of how long-suffering or enduring that we need to be. Another way that the Bible describes the patience that we endure is found over in James, and certainly you probably knew I was going here to this particular passage. And of course, this passage is perhaps the best passage that describes to us not just the fact that you and I need to have the right heart to condition our hearts to that point. Not only do we need to understand the need, but in James chapter 1, it shows us that how often do we gain patience? It's through the bad things that happen to us in this life, isn't it? It's through those horrible things. In James chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." When we're talking about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, one of the things that we always need to be reminded of is that we always need to be milk drinkers. I know you may not like milk. I don't like silk. I want the real thing. I want real milk. But in the Bible, real milk has to do with the foundation principles of the entire Scripture. We're talking about the church and worship and those foundation things of how to become a Christian. We need to understand those things and learn them and memorize them. But we also need to go on to that meat. Who is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? How does the Holy Spirit indwell? These are subjects that are mature and meat of the Word. And we need to understand them as we grow and develop in our Christian faith. But it's important to be reminded that with patience, it just doesn't happen overnight, does it? Give me patience and give it to me right now, Lord. That's the prayer, right? No, it takes time to develop that. And it takes these circumstances that James is talking about here in James chapter 2. And specifically, it's the trials that we're focused on. Maybe it's a natural disaster, a tornado. As we just had tornado warnings, even just recently. And we just had snow and these things that happen that can cause to us to affect our lives. These things can have an effect on it. Are you going to allow those natural disasters to stop you from serving God? Are you going to be impatient? You see, there are many things in which the Bible tells us that we need to be prepared for. And that is one of them. Be prepared. And patience helps prepare us for what's to come, even though we don't know what's to come. That's biblical patience. When we think about the Bible and we think about understanding the Scriptures on patience and how it relates to depending upon something, I want us to understand that there are a couple things that build up that patience for us. And of course, the first, as I make mention, is prayer. Are we going to pray diligently every single day? Pray without ceasing, as the Bible says. When's the last time you asked God to give you patience? Have you ever asked God to give you patience? And yet the Bible says this should be something you desire to ask for. But let me be frank with you. It's not that God does these negative things. I'm going to give you patience, Jesse, by having a tornado hit your house. But because He created the world and He created it to have these things that happen, these things do happen. And that's why it happens to us. And because of that, He's able to say, you can either choose to allow this thing in your life to stop you from serving Me, to go away from Me, to run as fast as way and flee and be disobedient, or you can be faithful and true to Me. You can build your Christian character and be a Christian that you ought to be. In Romans 12:12, Paul connects the concept of prayer to patience. And so we need to understand. But patience also depends on joy. How often do we think connect joy to the tribulations in this life? We don't, do we? We don't often connect happiness to that. Why? Because we don't really, do we really, is God really telling us you better be happy when you suffer in life? That's not what God is saying. But God wants us to realize that all these things that happen in our life, they happen, and we need to see the big picture that it doesn't really matter because eternity is what matters. As Dave Miller would say, this is our probationary period. This is our time where we get to decide where we want to spend eternity, and all these things that happen to us is our choice of how we're going to react to them. And we need to count it all joy. Permanent happiness when these things happen. And notice, if you want to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter reminds us of this very concept. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. In the context here, Peter is talking about someone who would suffer for doing wicked things. If you're a person who is stealing and then you suffer the consequences of that, you can't be that person who says, well, man, God's really testing me. I'm really tried by Satan and God's testing me. Well, you've done those unlawful things and now you've put yourself in that situation and you can't say that it's just persecution that's happening to me. Read with me, if you will, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, that's that concept of joy, to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed you that you may also be glad with exceedingly joy. And so what are we to think about with our patience and the fact that we're being built up upon the experience of negative things that happens in life? We need to remember that Jesus also suffered. You know, when you're going through that situation, how often do you think, well, Jesus went through a lot. And you know what? Jesus made it. He set the example. And now I can be like Him. I can make it through. You know, what's interesting, as we study the Old Testament, there's no greater example of human pain and suffering than who? Job, right? And as you study the entirety of that book, we always reference the first chapter. How does it relate to me? Remember, he had all the possessions in the world, didn't he? He had livestock and children. And one by one, these things are eliminated from his life. And even his wife tempted him to curse God and die. And yet what did Job do? He responded as you and I as a Christian should respond. When these things happen, he said, well, this happens. It just happens. This is part of life. But I need to serve God. That's the essence of what he did in Job chapter 1. And then he had three friends, right, that decide to say, hey, you're suffering because of your choices. You're living a sinful life. And they convinced him of such to the point that he appointed a day to speak with God himself. And God had to set him straight, didn't he, in Job chapter 38. And in that chapter, he basically brings him before him and he questions him. He says, Job, where were you when I made the foundations of the world? Where were you, Job? Where were you when I did this? Understand, Job, that I am God. God put Job in his place. And if we're going to have patience, with patience comes what? Humility. We need to humble ourselves. And that's where we can see the joy in this life. The joy that we get to spend eternity with God no matter what we face. That's the thought that God gives to us. Is that the thought that you think about when you're suffering through whatever you're suffering through? Patience depends on hope. A very familiar passage in Hebrews, as we've been studying and read it multiple times, is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. And we talk about that anchor there, as it makes mention. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, the writer says this, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil." And we understand the purpose of an anchor, don't we? It's to keep us in one spot on the water so that we don't drift away. And so we always need to remind ourselves, if we're going to be patient, that we have hope and we can trust in God that He's going to deliver us from this pain and suffering. And then turning your Bibles to James chapter 5, the scripture reading that was read this morning. And I'm going to make a few observations here as we talk about that. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 10, we have that patience demonstrated to us through the Scriptures. Verse 7, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of our Lord, seeing how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." I cannot help but think of Daniel. And I've told you guys how much I like the book of Daniel. But the den of lions, that's in Daniel chapter 6. And I can't help but think that the book is not in chronological order. And so he's an older man, perhaps 70, when he's thrown into that den of lions. And it was the accusers who said, "This guy's a guy that we're jealous of. He has more power than us. And so let's go tell the king to make a decree not to worship any god but him and to call him God." And he does just that. And Daniel decides to go and pray three times, doesn't he? And still worships his God and rejects that law that was made. And because of that, he was thrown into the den of lions. He received that persecution. Why? Because people didn't like that he was in a better situation than him. And yet he stood by God even when he was surrounded by lions that were ready to pounce and devour him. Or think about Hosea, one of my favorite minor prophet books. As we read Wednesday, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Or think about Joel and all these prophets. Do you realize that the major theme of every one of their lessons was this? Doom and gloom. "Hi, I'm Jesse, I'm a preacher, and guess what's going to happen to you? You got devastation coming. You're going to be destroyed because you're sinning, and you're going to depart from here, and you're not going to like it." And yet Hosea, Joel, Amos, Habakkuk, all these men, what did they still do? They didn't say, "Well, God, they're not going to like this." No, they went and did it. They went and preached the word to them. And they didn't like it. And at the end of the Beatitudes, Jesus reminds us of this point as well in Matthew chapter 5. In verse 11 and 12, as he's reminded of the type of Christian characteristics that we are to express, we are to have patience. And he connects the patience there that James makes mention of. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's not a strange thing that this is going to happen as Christians. We're going to deal with these things in our life. There's going to be people do this to us. Back to the definition of patience, it's how you react to it. It's how you make that decision in that given moment that makes you different than the world, that makes you a Christian man or woman. And that's what's important to God. Heaven is not that far away. This life is short. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Salvation is today. Do you want that salvation? Do you want to be delivered from your sin? Do you want to go to heaven to be with God? If you want these things, you have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit made that clear, that if you want to obey the gospel, you have to believe the gospel. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to be willing to change your life, to repent of the sins and be sorrowful with a godly sorrow that you've committed those sins against God. You've got to be willing to change your life. You got to be willing to confess His great name, that He is the Deity, the Son of God, and you have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's what grants you access into the kingdom of God and gives you the blessing of the forgiveness of sins by the grace of God. Do you want that gracious gift? As a child of God, we need to be reminded of passages like patience and to know that life isn't just about being here. Life is about being with God in the future. And we need to always keep that perspective as we study the Bible and as we live our life here on earth. If there's any need this morning, please come to the front where we stand and praise God together.